Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
I am doing well. A little earlier for me than it is for you, and both of us are not recording with our usual setup today due to various things, but I'm doing well.
Yes, those various things, they always get in the way.
You moved and have 15 boxes and you don't know where your mic is, and I'm actually out in Vegas for a conference sitting in a hotel room at 7 a.m. in the morning. So I just flew out last night, so the whole time change thing hasn't hit me yet. I woke up like wide awake at 3 a.m. this morning.
Nothing better than that.
Yeah. No kidding. So other than that, yeah, things are going well.
Awesome. Well, why don't we get into today? I think we're going to address some listener questions.
Yeah. So we had Jennifer email us, last week sometime. I can't remember when I checked it or when I actually got it. But she had a question around file server options in the cloud. So essentially, hey, we have our primary file server on-prem right now. They're getting to the point where hardware is going to be end of life. They want to start moving everything to the cloud. They've started moving some stuff to SharePoint Online, but starting to see that SharePoint may not necessarily be the best options for all of the files. So there's also Azure files. So we're just going to really kind of dive into this question from Jennifer and discuss, hey, if you want to try to get rid of all your on-premises file servers and actually store all of your files for your entire company up in the cloud, what are some options for how that could work? Where could we put files? How does this affect various types of users, various processes, file sizes, all kinds of good stuff? So it's kind of a fun topic. You obviously have a lot of experience on some of that Azure file server side. We've both done some stuff with SharePoint, you not as much recently, but yeah, I've still stayed up to date on SharePoint. So we're just going to dive into kind of these options and things that she should think about, or if you're looking at your companies in the same boat, things you should look at.
Yeah, let's do it. I think it's an interesting question, especially when we're considering replacing on-premises hardware or potentially collapsing out things like SMB or SIFS file shares that might be hosted inside of Windows Server or anything else like that. When we think about just what's going on with those NAS devices and everything else, I'm not a huge fan of saying something like SharePoint is going to be a direct replacement for you. We used to say in the past, and I think a lot of us still do, that SharePoint is the world's most expensive file share. So it does so much more than sharing files that you're baked up in that per user licensing and everything else that goes on there, particularly when we get into those online entitlements with SharePoint Online and things like OneDrive for Business. So, you know, you need to license everybody for those things. You need to make sure it's in place. It's a lot harder to peg a price to versus saying, you know, I had this on-prem NAS and it was whatever, you know, 10 terabytes of storage, and we plugged it in and we provisioned some departmental file shares and we were all good. Because when you go to the cloud, all of a sudden in SharePoint, your HR department file share might not just be HR anymore. You might have not a public, but an internet-facing site for your HR department, which is where your employees come to get data. And you might have one or more multiple private carve-outs, right? They could be separate site collections, teams, groups, whatever it happens to be, where day-to-day collaboration is going on. And then how do we get files between those? And what are all the things that happen in there?
Like you said, it's an interesting question, an interesting problem, because you do. You have a lot of stuff in SharePoint, and there are some really good things in SharePoint for storing files. The versioning aspect of SharePoint can be really beneficial in terms of being able to go back to previous versions. So I don't know, do you want to start at kind of the SharePoint and some of the limits and boundaries you may hit with SharePoint? Again, areas you may not want to move into it. We'll kind of walk through this. So the first thing is obviously storage size. SharePoint, you get so much storage. One news article that came out recently is the nice thing is this is increasing. So by default in SharePoint, you get a terabyte of storage for every subscription. So you sign up, you have one user, you get a terabyte of storage. You sign up, you have 5,000 users, you get a terabyte of storage. That's kind of that baseline. It used to be that you would get then an additional 500 megs of storage for every user license you had. So if you had two user licenses, you'd get an extra gig on top of that base 1 terabyte. They have just announced that they're going to increase that from 500 megs all the way up to 10 gigabytes. So now if I have two users, I get 20 gigabytes on top of my 1 terabyte. So while it is definitely still the world's most expensive file share, and people that are saying, hey, I just want to use SharePoint as a replacement for my file share, I would really caution them against it. You are getting significantly more storage now in SharePoint Online. The other big boundary that I see people hitting with SharePoint Online is, well, they do keep increasing the size of a single file. You still will hit a limit when you get a file that is 15 gigabytes or larger. And we could go into all kinds of other options, but think like PST archives. Back in the day, it used to be really common to take email, old users, send it off to an archive, archive those PST files. They very easily can be larger than 15 gigabytes. I have seen hundreds of them that are larger than 15 gigabytes. You're not going to want to be able to, or you're not going to be able to shove that up into SharePoint because that limit is there. Those are kind of the two big limits that I think I would look at just from a pure storage perspective of, hey, if you have petabytes of storage, or if you have a bunch of really, really, really big files, SharePoint's just not going to be a good spot for them.
I think there's a couple other things to consider there as well. So you mentioned PSTs. I think that's a great one. So when we think about the synchronization tooling for SharePoint and being dependent on the OneDrive client for file synchronization, there are certain file types that are not supported to be stored in places like SharePoint or your OneDrive and establish a sync relationship. So one such file is things like PSTs, so that you can actually get those corrupted because the sync client doesn't know how to handle them. It's writing extra metadata to the files. Outlook's putting an exclusive lock on, and it does not like things like that. So I think that's something to consider as well, is what types of files you store and are they actually compatible with the synchronization tooling that's included with SharePoint in that OneDrive client. Another big one that you'll probably want to think about is networking and specifically network bandwidth, as your users potentially, rather than going to one endpoint on your LAN or WAN, start going to an endpoint on the internet. And what does that mean for things like your internet traffic, and hopefully you have separate internet circuits versus your internal LAN, WAN traffic and everything that's going on. But what does that mean as everybody is potentially synchronizing files? So, you know, Scott over here in HR makes a change and Ben over in another office has to pick it up and pull it down. Well, I have to send the file up, you have to pull it down, and then everybody else who's also syncing it has to go ahead and pull it down as well. So we're not talking huge changes, but you know, the deltas will probably be small, but we've got to account for that in our synchronization tooling and everything that comes across. So personally, I think SharePoint's great. Like you said, if you're going to have the additional context and use the additional features of it, so it's not just files anymore. We get things like all the metadata attached to our files, but the synchronization tooling doesn't support that, so we'll pretend it doesn't exist. But you do get other types of content, right? Multiple libraries in the same site, custom calendars, custom lists, you know, having access to more collaborative workspace, and then potentially also access to your data on the go via SharePoint apps or the OneDrive app, if that's important to you. There's use cases that can come into play and be solved there. You mentioned recovery and versioning. So SharePoint absolutely supports all of those things. And something like a OneDrive for Business is also SharePoint. So you've got the same constructs there. And then they also announced, I believe it was last month, the malware protection capabilities effectively per second or to the second file restore for any files that are captured in that environment for the last 30 days. So that can be pretty powerful too, if you think about having and requiring down to the second file recovery for one or more files in an environment. That's certainly a nice to have.
Absolutely. And that's where I think, again, SharePoint definitely has those benefits, like you said, around the content types, around the metadata, around classifying documents that way. This malware protection for your OneDrive for Business can be huge to help protect against ransomware, and then some of the collaborative stuff as well. I know, I will admit, at times there I've had problems with it. There have been problems with it with the co-authoring of documents, where you can have multiple people editing a Word document or an Excel document at the same time. Your OneNote files. You get a lot of that with SharePoint. So SharePoint really benefits you in that way. And some of the retention policies that are even putting out there now around data classification in SharePoint Online, and then being able to establish retention policies. So, hey, all these documents are classified as financial documents. Let's go ahead and delete them 7 years after they're created. All of that stuff can be somewhat dependent on licensing, how you want the labeling to work, what aspects of some of those retention policies you get. And we really need to do a whole podcast and just dive into that aspect of SharePoint. But in terms of this discussion, those types of features are available for those files in SharePoint to really help you manage those files and control those files, collaborate on those files, all of that. So if those are the types of features you're really looking to take advantage of, and not just a dump all my files into SharePoint type of plan, SharePoint can absolutely be, I think, a game changer for how you store and work with files, and definitely something worth looking at and putting some files in. So now we've kind of rehashed the SharePoint side at a high level, and unless you have anything else you want to dive in, what do you do? Are there options then around storing some of those files where maybe SharePoint isn't the best place for them?
You have all sorts of options. So depending on who your current hardware vendor is, anything like that, you might actually have support for going over to something like a virtual device that's hosted in Azure, AWS, whatever it happens to be. Because it was in the question, let's focus kind of on Azure Files and at least a first-party Microsoft construct there. So Azure Files is definitely an option. So Azure Files is a fully managed file share that's backed by Azure storage accounts that become accessible via SMB, so Server Message Block, or just SIFS 3.0. Azure Files, once they've been provisioned, that specific offering, they can then be mounted concurrently. So they're great for kind of these shared file scenarios by not only your cloud deployments, but also on-premises deployments of pretty much every major operating system. Windows, Linux, and macOS are all included in there. The other cool thing that you can do in the case of, say, a caching scenario, think like a branch cache. So, you know, I have my core WAN, and then I have, you know, maybe 10 branch locations, and I don't want 10 branch locations always reaching out to the internet and soaking that internet circuit to get their main information. I'd rather have them have a locally cached version available. So Azure Files supports that scenario as well with a Azure Files Sync client that can be installed on Windows Server today. And it effectively gives you that branch cache scenario. So a couple of really cool things about Azure Files. So it's all SMB3. Once you've set it up and provisioned it, so say we're going to do the branch cache thing, and let's pretend we just have two branches, and they're both going to sync up to a single storage account hosted in Azure. So once I've provisioned that file share sync on-prem, and it's going ahead and synchronizing everything up to Azure storage for me, it's not only synchronizing just the file, it's also synchronizing things like my Windows ACLs. So I can continue to leverage my on-premises file share security if it was Windows-based, and actually have that security carry down and be synchronized between those two branches pretty easily. It's just a matter of deploying the tooling and having it go. Just to note, so once it does go up to Azure, even though it might have the metadata associated with it, if somebody else happened to hook up to it, like they just did a straight mount of the file share, they wouldn't necessarily get that information and have it come down. There's no other authentication mechanism on there like a Azure AD Authent. That's coming. It's on the roadmap. Should be released at some point. I don't believe they've pegged an official date to that yet. Or because it's just Azure files, it's just an Azure storage account, rather, you can also do just SAS tokens, shared access signatures. So if I wanted to share a single file directly out of storage and have somebody else get access to it, I can actually generate a one-time token and just send somebody a URL and they can go ahead and download that file. Think like, you know, I generate like a share link in OneDrive or SharePoint or Box or Dropbox or whatever it happens to be.
That's an interesting one, because that's one thing too we forgot to mention with SharePoint files is that ability to share externally. So you can do the same thing then with Azure files. How is it, because this is something I haven't played with, how is that experience between, say, going in SharePoint, selecting a file and just click share anonymously and you get a link, versus sharing files like in Azure files? More from that end user, power user experience.
Totally different. So in an Azure Files scenario, or like an Azure storage account, I wouldn't expect users to be sharing files like that externally. You'd have to use tooling like Azure Storage Explorer or a CLI or PowerShell or a REST API, right, to go ahead and generate that token and be able to push that special URL out to people. So it's not really end user oriented, but I think they're different scenarios, right? If we consider our traditional on-prem file share today, your users aren't right-clicking and say, share a file and generating a link and then posting a link into email.
Right.
They're right-clicking a file and they're saying email, and it's actually sending it as a full attachment and pulling it across. So this is where you really do need to become scenario-driven and understand the behavior of your users. If you're looking to alter that behavior or get into some new stuff, something like SharePoint or OneDrive, you know, as long as you meet the limitations of that service, might be a great thing for you to do. If you're looking for a straight-up replacement for your on-prem file shares, something like Azure Files is probably a lot better. It's a lot easier to onboard into and make sure everything comes over the right way. It's also a lot cheaper. So from a pricing perspective, you're just subject to the straight pricing list for Azure Storage. So, you know, if you're a PAYGO customer, you can just pull your rate down from the pricing calculator. If you're an EA customer, you know, go ahead and log into the EA portal, pull down your price sheet, see what it is that you pull out. Generally speaking, pricing for storage in the cloud when it comes to things like Azure is dirt cheap, right? It's a commodity service. Microsoft doesn't go to Best Buy and order their hard drives. They order them by the pallet and the shipping container directly from China, and that's how they come over, right? They're manufactured and then they end up in a data center. So they're buying at a scale that we don't. So, I mean, really, we're talking fractions of a penny on a gigabyte for storage. And then you've just got your networking charges, so like your egress from an Azure data center at that point. There is a minimal charge as well for those file sync servers. So they're currently in preview. They're running at 50% off right now. Most pricing in the US is about $250 a server. So if you think about having to spend only $2.50 per month per file server, that's not too bad. You know, and at some point it'll go up to $5 when it GAs. But other than that, it's just a storage account. And like I said, that's really cool because it supports all the things that storage accounts support. So the same scale limits, you know, you're in the same pricing structure. The other really cool thing that means is that this service supports things like service endpoints. So storage accounts in Azure have the ability to join VNets. Say you had like a hybrid connection between your on-prem environment and your Azure environment, I could actually join that storage account to my VNet with a service firewall. And then I could do things like IP whitelisting and really lock it down to the point where only my on-prem file servers or my on-prem users had the ability to actually talk to that storage account. So there's a lot of warm fuzzies that can come into place there. The other cool thing is, because it's storage, when we think about resiliency and redundancy, well, storage accounts are already triplicate, redundant, just within the service fabric and the way they're stored. But the other thing that happens is Azure data centers have sibling regions. So if we look at like East US, it's paired to West US. If we looked at East US 2, it's paired to South Central US, things like that automatically. So I can actually provision a geo-redundant storage account and make sure that anything that I'm synchronizing up to Azure or that's stored in that Azure storage account is automatically at a service level and a service fabric level synchronized over to another data center. So it covers me for geo redundancy, local redundancy, zone redundancy. It's really just the service I buy into and what I'm going to pay for it.
Okay. So with this Azure File Sync preview, going back to some of the scenarios like Jennifer talked about, where she said, hey, our file share hardware is reaching end of life. She doesn't say if they want to completely get rid of all their on-prem hardware or if they're going to replace it with something smaller, but they still want most of their files in Azure. It looks like this Azure File Sync preview, like you said, it's more of a caching, so you still have an on-premises server that you set up Azure File Sync to that does the caching, and then would you point all your end users to this file server? How does that whole interaction work kind of in those different scenarios? If you wanted to get rid of any on-prem servers and use Azure Files versus use some of the caching with the Windows servers and the Azure File Sync.
Two options there. So one is maintain some type of on-prem server and go ahead and provision Azure Files with the sync client. So, and that needs to be hosted on Windows Server and 64-bit and all those kinds of things. So go ahead and get that laid down. And then you'll just point all your users to that new share endpoint. The nice thing is now I can start to do things like true like branch cache scenarios. So they've started to include like some of the options Store Simple used to have. So it can become a little bit more of an edge device for me. So as I synchronize files in there, I can go ahead and just say, okay, anything older than 30 days, let's go ahead and just keep a stub of that file here on-prem, but I'm actually going to take it offline and make sure that it's only stored up in Azure. Then I'll retrieve it at the time the user requests it, things like that. So you can actually cut down on your storage and kind of do it like a true branch cache scenario across that tooling.
Okay, so when you're coming from that SharePoint line, it's almost like the files on demand then for OneDrive, where it's just a little bit of a stub and it only pulls those older files down, or however you set those rules, it pulls them down based on when you actually need them and want to access them.
Yep. It's a little bit more rich than OneDrive's files on demand, because I can't go in on files on demand and say this folder, anything older than 30 days goes to files on demand. Everything else stays the same. It's kind of a folder by folder, a file by file option today, right? We just say sync locally or pull it down. So it's a little bit richer in regards to that and how it works. If you wanted to have a file share that lived in the cloud, and you just wanted to get rid of everything and you didn't have needs for Windows, ACLs, or things like that on those files, you could just go ahead and say, hey, I've got a storage account. It lives in the cloud. And because it's just an SMB3 share, you could just go ahead and mount it to Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever it happens to be. Not too bad to mount a file share and have it come down. You'd have some considerations there, right? Am I doing it across a hybrid connection, like an express route, to make sure it doesn't cross the internet? Have I configured my peering the right way? If I am doing it across the internet, am I okay with that? And what does that look like? And what does that mean? But you can also kind of pick and choose and have your cake and eat it too, right? Depending on the scenario and how it comes together. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to you. If you're doing traditional on-prem file shares today, and you're using some type of Windows ACL, so like, you know, my domain credentials control whether I get access to that folder or not, your smoothest path to onboarding is certainly going over to an offering like Azure Files. You know, it's just configuring another server, copying all the files over, all my ACLs will come along with it, and they'll all get synced, and everything will be great and hunky-dory, and life is grand. Going over to something like SharePoint's a little bit harder. I've got to have some additional migration tooling to go ahead and migrate those files up to SharePoint. And then I've got a little bit of a security thing to worry about, because now what happened to all those ACLs? Well, I've probably got to redo them all and translate them over to SharePoint security constructs and get them all going. And do I have Azure AD? And am I doing hybrid identity and synchronization? And then all my clients have to go and pull those files back down again. So now there's a bandwidth thing that comes into play as well. I certainly think there's room for both. You just have to decide on what those needs are. So if you're looking for more than a traditional on-prem file share and you're an Office 365 subscriber, or you just bought SharePoint Online or just OneDrive for Business licenses, things like that, you're all set and you're good to go. Just pick the one that's going to work for you. The thing that I would caution anybody about is if they're looking at going that path, don't think that you're going to throw your departmental file shares into OneDrive for Business. That's not an appropriate workload. Like, it definitely should be going into SharePoint, to TeamSite, or into something like Azure Files, not into OneDrive for Business, because that's all about the individual user context, right? Just keep that stuff out of there.
Yes, OneDrive is personal.
Not appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and like you said, it is very much scenario-based, and I definitely can see the need, the use for having both of them based on what types of files you need stored, how your users interact with that file, what you want your users' behavior to be if they're sharing them, what types of files they are. So it is, as with everything, SharePoint files versus Azure files, it's our typical SharePoint phrase, right? It depends on what you're doing and what you have and a whole bunch of different conditions.
One other thing I should have mentioned, so you brought it up in the SharePoint and OneDrive context, was the option to do recovery and be able to do the versioning and the rollback. I should mention that Azure Files, because it's based on Azure Storage, does have the same capability. So that capability specifically is the ability to do file share snapshots. So you can snapshot an entire file share with a read-only version. There's no performance overhead for that. You can have a maximum of 200 snapshots, so you can get pretty high there. Your snapshots don't count towards your share quota. There's no per share limit on total space, anything like that. And just when you hit 200 snapshots, you just delete the older ones and you can go ahead and create new ones and move them through that way.
Okay.
Snapshots don't cost, well, they really don't cost much at all, because Azure snapshots are 100% incremental. So they're only ever capturing the deltas and the changes within the snapshot. And you could go ahead and script that out and do it with like CLI or PowerShell. You can take on-demand snapshots through tooling like Azure Storage Explorer, things like that. You have, you know, all sorts of options there. And if you want to do like traditional like file copy backup things, you know, maybe you said, hey, I don't trust geo-redundant storage and I just want to do like an on-demand robocopy or easy copy or something daily, same thing. Go ahead and script that out and have it running through.
All right. So snapshots right now, on demand, or if you do want to do some type of scheduling, it's do something with Azure Automation, do something with the CLI, something like that if you want to do an automatic scheduled snapshot. Perfect.
Yep. Just go ahead and script it out. Yep.
Sounds good. Well, Jennifer, I hope that answers your question. Again, it was fun. It was an interesting topic. So thanks for sending that in. If anybody else has questions, we always love good questions, interesting topics to discuss. So feel free to shoot an email over to us via the contact page on the website, and we'll dive into your question as well.
I really appreciate it. So we'll put some links to the background information for these in show notes. Everyone can find those at mscloudit.pro/episode61. And with that, I think we'll be good.
Sounds good. Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Hope you get all your boxes unpacked, and we will talk to you again next week.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.